Let's pray. Now let's pray this prayer that we've been praying for the last few weeks, this prayer that I've asked you guys to pray throughout the week, this prayer that we are praying corporately as a church, that God would continue to do great things in this church, that God would continue to do great things in this community. Dear God of the universe, I know that you have given us this territory of Fernley, Nevada, and in your name I claim it for your glory, for your righteousness, and for your honor. I will not be discouraged by the circumstances surrounding us. I will not be dismayed by the enemy's arrows. God, let your glory be magnified. God, let your hand be swift. Let me bring glory and honor to your name by being your tool to till the ground of Fernley, Nevada. God, I pray that for your glory, you will make Fernley the hardest place to go to hell from. And I pray that you will use me in whatever way you see fit to see this vision come to fruition. In your wonderful, powerful, awesome name I pray. Amen. You guys can have a seat. You're going to have to excuse me this morning. I'm not feeling real well. I've had a cold over the last... Stupid kids, right? You send them off to public school and they bring junk back. So that's just what happens. So I know this is bad form, but my throat is really starting to hurt, and I'm going to need a Ricola. We've been going through this series, Audacious Faith, and I've defined audacious faith as that shameless boldness that we have to believe God for those things that he promises to give us, those promises in his word, those promises in his Bible, those vision, those purposes that he lays upon our heart, and believing that he can do all those things despite the circumstances. That's audacious faith. And I've asked you guys to pray this prayer with me throughout the series. And as God is doing great things in your heart, as God is doing great things in your household, as God is doing great things in this church and in this community, I've asked you guys to write those things down as he opens your eyes to what he is doing. Write those things down and then put them on our wall back here, our audacious faith wall. Just write them on a 3x5 card and share that with us. And again, like I've said before, the reason for that is I want to be encouraged by your stories. I mean, I know that's a little bit selfish of me, but I want to be encouraged by your stories, and I want your stories to encourage others as well. I want your stories to encourage this church family so that we can see all these great things that God is doing in our lives, each one of us individually, what God is doing. So I've asked you guys to take on that challenge, and I pray that you'll continue to do so. This morning, I want to talk about prayer. And this is something that, as I've been doing my studies over the last few weeks, I've been extremely convicted by my prayer life. I don't feel that I am a good prayer. I mean, don't get me wrong, I pray. I pray a lot, especially over the last few months. I've been praying a lot. But I don't feel like my prayer life is where it should be. You know, of course, as a pastor, you know, when I get together with people and I pray with them in circles, sometimes I feel obligated to pray a very beautiful and ornate prayer where there's a bunch of amens around the circle, right? I mean, sometimes we strive for that when we're praying with other people. We're like, man, I just hope that my prayer like really impacts them and they're really impressed with my spirituality. And I've been convicted by that. And I go back to what Jesus teaches when he's teaching his disciples how to pray on the Sermon on the Mount. And he's saying, don't pray like the Pharisees who stand on the street corners and pray these beautiful ornate prayers so that everybody will look at them and everybody will admire them and everybody will think, oh man, that person is so spiritual. I wish I could just attain that level of spirituality. And, you know, I've been convicted by that. Because there are times when I'm in a prayer circle, and to be honest, sometimes I don't feel like praying. Sometimes I don't feel like I'm being led to pray at that moment. But sometimes, because of my position, I feel obligated to pray. and I feel obligated to pray in a way that impresses people. And I've been convicted by that. This particular study on prayer for me has been rough, because I've been convicted about my own prayer life. How many of you feel that way? You know, when you're praying in a prayer circle, you feel like you need to impress everybody. You know? It's a struggle. It's a struggle. And Jesus addresses that. He's like, don't pray that way. Pray from your heart. See, what prayer is to me, what I've been convicted by this week, and actually over the last few weeks, is prayer is connecting my heart with God's heart. Amen. Prayer is that connection that I'm seeking for, that communion with God, to where I'm hearing from His heart. His heart is touching and changing my heart, and my desires become His desires. That's what prayer should be. It shouldn't be an obligation. It shouldn't be like, okay, I need to pray before my meal, so rub-a-dub-dub, thanks for the grub. You know, it shouldn't be those kind of prayers. It shouldn't be those kind of prayers that are, to be honest, empty, because we're not allowing our heart to touch the heart of God, or His heart to touch ours, to have that connection. Another thing I've been convicted by is my prayers for my kids. You know, every night I pray with my kids. And I got to be honest with you, sometimes those nights when I'm praying with my kids, I'm like, man, I just got to get this over with, so they'll just shut up and go to bed, you know? Sometimes that's the wrong heart. My heart should be, God, I'm praying over my children, whom You have blessed me with, who You have given to me, who You have put underneath my care, and I should be praying Your blessings over them. I should be connecting with Your heart to pray Your will and Your desire for my children. And that's something I've been convicted by, because, you know, sometimes this is what our prayer is. Dear God, you know, let Cammie and Kari and Christian, let them have a great day tomorrow. Let them get good grades. I don't have to ground them. Let them have fun with their friends. And I'm just going through the motions. That's not what God wants in our prayer life. I think of it this way. As a dad, I take so much delight when my children come and sit by my lap and just want to talk with me. Nothing touches my heart more than when Kari or Cammie or Christian come and sit down on the couch with me and we're watching TV and they just want to be with me, they just want to talk with me, they just want to hang out with me. That is the coolest feeling as a parent. How many of you parents can relate to that? I mean, that is an amazing feeling. And it's to be honest, a lot of times when my kids come home from school, I'm like, say, how was your day? You know, I'm trying to get something out of them. I'm trying to force them to talk to me. I'm trying to say, hey, I want to talk with you. Let's have a conversation. I'm like, hey, how was your day? Oh, it was good. I have to pee, so leave me alone. And it's this quick, rushed thing, and that hurts my heart that they just want to rush to do their next thing, or they want to rush to play their video games, or they want to rush to go take a potty break or whatever, and they don't want to take time to sit with me and tell me about their day. But then there are those days when I'm working at my desk, when I'm busy, right? And I'm working on my sermon, or I'm working on other stuff, and I'm at my desk, and they come home, they come barreling through the door, I'm home, and then they grab a chair, and they come sit by my desk, and they sit themselves down and say, Dad, I want to tell you about my day. I had the greatest day. I learned this in science class. I learned this in English. And those moments are the moments where I have to consciously make a decision to put aside my work and pay attention to what's really important. Having a relationship with my children. And when I have that relationship, when I have that connection with my kids, their heart and my heart connecting and talking and communing and loving each other, those are the best days of my life. And then I relate that to God. And if that touches my heart that much, as a finite man with finite amount of love, someone whose love is not perfect, think about how much more that touches the heart of God, who is infinitely perfect infinitely loving and has an infinite amount of love for his children. That's what I'm talking about when I'm talking about prayer. Connecting to the heart of God. Connecting in such a way where we can feel and sense his love, experience his presence. That's prayer. And I think that oftentimes I just look at prayer as a discipline, something I know I'm supposed to do, something I know I'm supposed to do before I open my Bible to read, and I'm supposed to pray that the Holy Spirit would convict me and reveal to me God's truth. And sometimes I go through those motions and it's empty. When we pray, God wants more than just thanks for today. Thanks for getting me through another day. God, bless this food. God, be with my family today. Not that those aren't important prayers, but they're only important if you make them important. They're only important if you are really connecting to the heart of God and trying to hear from him and let him change your heart, let him change your desires to what he desires. Prayer is hard. Prayer is hard. Some of you may be intercessors. Some of you guys, maybe you have that gift where prayer has never been a chore for you, where you have that connection with God all the time, and it's an amazing experience for you every time you kneel down to pray, or every time that you lay down to say your prayers before bedtime, or every time that you pray before a meal, you have that connection with God. For some of you, you might have that, and I envy you. I envy you. I wish I had that. But there are times, if I'm completely honest with myself, I'm just praying to be heard. I'm just praying to be heard by myself. I'm just praying to be heard by others. And hopefully I pray a prayer that gets a few amens in the prayer circle. Prayer's hard. Because that in times of prayer is when you're getting real with God. It's in times of prayer when you're opening up your heart to his heart. And it's really easy to put up that wall and put up our defenses and say, God, I don't want you in that place. I don't want you to touch that part of my heart this time. Guys, prayer's a weapon. Prayer is something that, let me give you an example. And again, first service I went completely off script, and God took us to this place where we were able to pray as a congregation. It was an amazing experience. I don't feel that's where God's taking me this morning, but or this service. But what I am sensing from God is that we need to learn to appreciate prayer for what it is. My mom was a great prayer warrior. Or she is a great prayer warrior. She's still alive. At least I haven't gotten that phone call yet. She's still alive, and she still prays for me. She still prays for our family. But I remember when I was going through my rebellious teenage years, I would hear my mom every night when I was going to bed and she was going to bed, I would hear her on her knees crying out to the Father for her son, that he would grab hold of my heart, that he would use me in some way. And I know that it was her prayers that got me through the stupid stuff that I was doing in high school. It was my mom's prayers. It was her faithful, audacious prayers when she was looking at her son, crying out for her son, whom she so loved. I mean, she prayed that she would have me. So of course she's going to pray for me. And it was her prayers that got me through. She's praying for my dad now. And it's her prayers that are opening my dad up to going to church. It's her prayers that are opening my dad up to listening to the pastor speak and to go on missions trips, even though he still doesn't proclaim faith in Jesus Christ. His heart is opening up. It's my mom's prayers that are doing that. It's her hitting her knees like Hannah and praying for a son. And then giving that over to God and saying, God, I'm trusting you with this prayer. And I'm crying out to you. I'm connecting with you. I want your will for my child. I want your will for my husband. I want to desire the thing that you desire. That's what prayer is. And I think that we miss out on that. How many of you guys have somebody in your life that you know is that person that is praying constantly for people and is audaciously praying, believing God to do great things in somebody's life, or believing God to do great things and great works in a church or in a community? How many of you guys have watched War Room? Prayer is so underappreciated. And it's so underutilized. Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6, verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, stand firm. This is that passage where we love to go to and talk about doing war, right? We're soldiers. We're in the army of God. Onward, Christian soldiers. You know, that whole mentality of, I'm here to kick the devil's butt, you know? And that should be our attitude. That should be our... Yeah, the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. Absolutely. And I'm going to put on the full armor of God, my shield of faith, my belt of truth, my all that stuff. But listen to this. Take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand the evil in the day. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and his shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace, in all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. Take on the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayers and supplication. I think sometimes what we miss is we know we have the word of God. We know we have this. This is our sword. This is what we do battle with. When the enemy's trying to defeat me, when the enemy's trying to tell me I'm something I'm not, I look to God's word and I am. He reveals to me who I am as his child of God. He reveals to me that I am a chosen one. He chose me before the foundations of the earth and called me his kid. I look to this and this is my sword. This is what I use to do battle. But then we forget the part about praying at all times in the Spirit. And with all prayer and supplication. You see, I think the word of God becomes an even more powerful sword when we pray it back to him. When we use it and we begin praying his word. This is a practice that I'm trying to get more familiar with. Where I'm reading God's word and I'm seeing his promises and I'm listening to them and I'm liking them. Those are really cool promises, God. I'm really enjoying that. But then I pray it back to him. And then it becomes an even more powerful weapon because I'm not only using the sword against the enemy, but I'm using the sword to also divide my spirit and divide my heart and allow it to cut deep and change my life, to change who I am, to change who I'm trying to become, to allow the Holy Spirit to work through me and in me, using his word as a sword, praying it back to God. That's a practice that I want to become more familiar with, is praying the word of God. Praying the word of God back to the enemy. Praying the word of God towards my struggles, towards my financial hardships, towards my work hardships, towards my family woes, towards my illnesses, towards those times where I need healing, praying God's word towards those, saying, God, you promised this, so I'm going to pray your word over it, and I'm going to see your sword do mighty, mighty things, because it is a weapon. Right. Praying God's word is a practice that we should all become familiar with. And as we pray God's word over our lives, as we pray God's word over our children, as we pray God's word over our family and our friends and over the hardships that we go through, we begin connecting to the heart of God. We begin allowing His heart to change our heart, His desires to become our desires. Because this word is the heart of God. Like I said, that's what prayer is about. Connecting to the heart of God. I heard an illustration back when I was in Bible college. We had this class, we were talking about prayer. And kind of one of the things that came up was, you know, can prayer change the heart of God? And, you know, there's instances in the Bible that talk about God relenting from his anger or God changing his mind. And one of those was when Moses was interceding on behalf of the Israelites who were being idiots. And while Moses was up on the mountain getting the commandments from God, they were down there making a stupid golden calf and saying, this is our God now, so let's worship this and let's dance around this and be idiots. And God gets ticked off. He's like, I'm going to destroy them because look at what they're doing. They're being morons. And Moses intercedes on their behalf, and God relents, changes his mind. He decides not to destroy the Israelites and just continue the line through Moses. Moses intercedes and God relents. So there are those things, those instances in the Bible that we see where God is affected by the prayers of his people. But another illustration that I feel is more applicable, because I feel that those kind of things are kind of the exception sometimes, but is picture God as an island, and you're out in a rowboat, and you don't have any oars, you don't have a motor, you don't have anything but a fishing pole, and you're close enough, you're a good enough caster where you can cast out, hook the island, hook a branch, and reel yourself in. That's kind of what prayer is. It's throwing a line out, hooking into the island, hooking into God, and allowing your heart, allowing your rowboat to be directed towards him. See, the island's not moving. The island's not changing place. What's changing? The rowboat. Your heart. Your desires are changing towards God. And that's a picture of prayer. It's not a perfect picture of prayer. But the idea is that it's connecting with him. The idea is that it's connecting with his heart, changing our heart. The Bible says that he who delights in the Lord, forgot what the passage is, 37:4, right? Where is it? Yeah, Psalm 37:4. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. And I've talked about this before. It's what that is that's not God giving us everything we want. That's God changing our desires to desire what he wants. And it takes prayer to do that. It takes prayer to connect to him. It takes prayer to understand his heart. So this morning, what I would like to do is take some time to connect to the heart of God. As a church, as a congregation, I know this is uncomfortable because, dude, this is almost like a prayer circle. I want to make sure that I get a few amens, so I've got to make this thing beautiful, right? I got to make this an ornate prayer where everybody's like, wow, that guy's spiritual. He's so spiritual. That's not what I want this morning. I want you guys to honestly earnestly seek that connection with the heart of God. And I've been having you guys pray that prayer. I hope it hasn't just become routine for you. I hope that the next time that you pray that prayer for our church and for our community, that you will honestly be seeking the heart of God, that you will be seeking that connection, that encounter with God. Don't let it just become routine. Don't let it be that rub-a-dub-dub thing. Don't let it be that, God, just thank you for this day and thank you for my kids. But God, I want to understand your heart. I want to pray what you want for my children over my children. I want to pray what you want for our church in this community. I want to pray what you want for my life in this church and in this community. I want to pray what you want, how you want to change me. I want my desires to become your desires. We all want that, don't we? I want something deeper for you guys. I want something deeper for myself. I want to understand what prayer really is. I want to be able to feel that connection every time I open up my mouth to speak to God. I want to have that. And I can't say that I do 100% of the time now. But I want that. I yearn for that. I yearn for that relationship where I can come sit down by my dad and say, hey, let me tell you about my day. Hey, let me share with you some of my concerns. Hey, let me allow you to wrap your arms around me and comfort me and love me. Give me some of your peace, some of your joy, some of your gentleness and your faithfulness and those fruits of the Spirit that I so desire, those things that I so want to experience. I mean, if you don't want that kind of experience with God, then I feel sorry for you. I desire that experience with God. I desire that deeper relationship, knowing who He is and knowing that He knows me and wants me. So I'm asking you guys to pray this morning. I'm asking you guys to connect with the heart of God this morning and do something that makes us all extremely uncomfortable. Pray as a church. It doesn't have to be about our church. It doesn't have to be even about our community. But what's on your heart that you want to talk to the Father about? Where's that connection that you need to make with the Father this morning? Because I want something deeper for you guys. I want something deeper for you guys. I want something deeper for myself. I don't want this to just be my religion. I want this to be my relationship with the Father, the creator of all the universe. So I want to pray. Father, you are amazing that you would look down upon me. You call me your child. You would look down upon me and yearn just as much as I yearn for you, that relationship, Father. That you want that even more desperately than what I want that, Father. That you want to have a connection with me that I cannot even fathom yet. Where my heart is your heart, where your heart is my heart, where my desires are your desires, Father. God, I pray that this morning, that people will be touched by your Spirit, that your Holy Spirit would fall heavy upon us, that your Holy Spirit would minister to us, that we would sense your love, sense your presence, that you would walk into the room, Father, and change this room. That the people here this morning would desire that connection with you, their heart, your heart. Father, just give us boldness to cry out to you, Father. Give us boldness to cry out to you. Don't let us be afraid. Don't let us be ashamed. Don't let us think that just because our prayer is not going to be long or our prayer is not going to be beautiful, that it's not going to matter to you, Father. Let us know that when we connect with you, Father, it doesn't matter how long or how beautiful the prayer is. You just want to have that connection, God. I pray for the people of this room that they would have the boldness to cry out to you this morning. Father, I know you want to do something here. I know that you want to interfere with our lives. God, and I don't want this to be awkward, but I do want it to be uncomfortable. Because when we encounter you in new ways, that can be uncomfortable. Prayer's hard, isn't it? It's not easy. You have to allow yourself to be open to hearing from God, and no matter how uncomfortable that can get, and I know that some of you in this room are uncomfortable right now. And I'm sorry, but I can't apologize for that. Because I know God wants that relationship with you. I know God wants that deeper relationship with you. Anybody want to pray? Go ahead. Thank you. James 5:17 says Elijah was a man just like one of us. He prayed for the rain to stop for 3.5 years, and he prayed again, and the rain came back. That's a Mark paraphrase, so don't quote me. Don't be looking that up in the Bible and figuring out whether I quoted that perfectly, because I didn't. But that verse fascinates me, you guys. I mean, I think of Elijah, the prophet Elijah, and I mean, he's the guy that was taken up in a chariot. He's the guy that did battle against the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel. I mean, if you think about just that instance where Elijah had challenged the prophets of Baal, the Israelites were being stupid idiots again. They seem to have a tendency to do that. They were being idiots again, and they were worshiping these idols of Baal. And the Baals were the gods of fertility, the gods of fire, the gods of rain, the gods of crops. They were those gods. And Elijah had prayed for this drought to come over Israel because of that sin of idolatry. And that drought took place was a complete slap in the face to those false gods, to those idols that the Israelites were worshiping. And then God tells Elijah, hey, I want you to go challenge these prophets. I want you to challenge them to show who the real God is. So Elijah challenges them. They go up to Mount Carmel, which I found out in my studies this last week, that was where they thought the Baals lived. And he tells them, okay, you guys get to choose between these two bulls. You guys get to choose which one you want. So they even got the first pick. And he says, you guys get to go first. You guys get to build your altar and lay your bowl on that altar. And let's see whose God answers them. Don't light a fire. Let whosoever God light a fire. And that's the true God that we need to worship. So the prophets of Baal, they just begin this ritual of cutting themselves and crying out to the Baals and to these false gods. And Elijah starts making fun of them. I love this part because Elijah starts making fun of them. He says, why don't you guys cry a little louder? Why don't you guys talk a little louder? You know, maybe your God's on the toilet. You know, he literally says that. He says, well, maybe your God's on the toilet. Maybe you need to cry out harder and cry out louder so you can get his attention so he gets off the toity quicker and comes and answers your prayer for you. And he's making fun of these guys. And then he's like, okay, you guys are done. And he's like, now come here, check this out. And he builds this altar and he puts on his second string bowl on top of the altar. And then he asks them, hey, fill up these gallon jugs and just start pouring water, gallons and gallons of water over this altar. And then he says a simple prayer. He says, God, for your glory, that you might be magnified, that you might prove that you are the one true God, the God over Israel, I pray right now in front of these guys. And God instantly sends fire, burns up the altar, burns up the bowl. I mean, it's an amazing prayer, and it's just a simple prayer that Elijah prays, and God honors it, and God does great things through it. And then Elijah goes off to a corner, and he prays for rain, and God sends rain. And the Bible tells us that Elijah was a man just like us. He prayed for the rain to stop. He prayed for the rain to come, and it did. That same power that was available to Elijah when he prayed in God's will, when he prayed to God and said, God, I know for your glory you're going to do this. The same power is available to us. Amen. That same power is, Elijah was a man just like us. And here's proof that Elijah was a man just like us. This caught my attention this week too. The very next chapter, because of Elijah kind of discrediting the prophets of Baal and kind of destroying all that and winning the big battle, the queen Jezebel, who was the one who brought in all these prophets and brought in all this idolatry, she puts a warrant out for his arrest and puts out a hit on his head, and he runs away. He's scared. Okay, do you understand? That's the very next thing that happens. He just witnessed God bring fire down from heaven, burn up an altar. He just witnessed God cause a drought for 3.5 years and then bring back the rain. He just witnessed all that, and he runs away from a little queen who threatens his life. He was a man just like us. Sometimes we get scared. Sometimes we have that fear. Sometimes we get afraid of what others are going to think or what others are going to do, and we're afraid to pray those audacious prayers that God asks us to pray. But that same power that was available to Elijah is available to us. Because God hasn't changed. God is still all powerful. God is still all loving. God is still everywhere. God is still the God of the universe, the creator of all things. And when we pray, we connect to his heart. When we pray, we connect to him. We get that connection. Our heart connects with his heart. His heart begins to change our heart. His desires become our desires. This is what I'm talking about with prayer, guys. And I think that we miss it too often to where we look at prayer as just something that we do because we call ourselves Christian, or something that we do because we're praying around a circle, or something that we do to comfort our friends. When our friends are going through a struggle, we feel like, oh, I should pray for them. That will comfort them. No, when we pray for them, we connect to the heart of God for them, and we pray what God's desire for them is. We pray that over their lives. I want a deeper prayer life. That's what I want for myself. I want to connect to the heart of God more and more. And my desire is also for this church to connect with the heart of God more and more. To tap into his love, his peace, his power, his gentleness, his faithfulness. I want to be able to pray his word back to him and see mighty things happen. I want to be able to pray God's will over my children and see them grow up to be mighty people of faith. So this morning, if you're struggling, if you need prayer in any way, if you're desiring for this same relationship with God where you're connecting with his heart and he's connecting with your heart and your heart is changing because of his heart and you're desiring what he desires and you want that so much for your life, but you just don't know how to do that. You don't know how to connect with him. I'm asking you to come up for prayer. We got our elders here off to the side. If you don't feel comfortable coming up, you can pray right there in the seats. Have a friend pray with you, for you. There's mats right there if you want to kneel before the cross. But my prayer this morning for you is that you would desire to have a deeper prayer life with the Father. That you would desire to connect with his heart and be able to come sit down beside him where he doesn't have to prompt you, he doesn't have to force you to sit down, he doesn't have to ground you just to talk to him, where he can you just come and sit beside the Father and just talk to him. Tell him about your day. Tell him about your struggles. Allow that relationship to develop. So I want to sing this last song. And as we're singing, connect with the heart of God. Connect to his heart.